ready for the word? I'm going to minister a message that you've heard before, but it's going to be several pieces of different messages you've heard put together for a consolidated message. And there's some things I want to talk about. Remember our curve that I drew here a few weeks ago about the gross darkness versus darkness and light versus glory? Well, I've gotten more on that. But I want to do some other teaching to get everybody up to speed to lead into that curve to see what we're talking about. It's probably going to take me 2 or 3 weeks to get through all this teaching to get up to it. Amen? But go to Mark chapter 11. And let's start. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto the disciples, them, have faith in God. Other translations say have faith like God, or have the God kind of faith. Have faith in the same fashion that God has faith. How many know God created the heavens and the earth through faith, right? Created the ages through faith. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, speak unto a big situation, right? Say means to speak. A mountain is any impossible situation in your life. Whosoever shall say to the impossible, be thou removed. That's what you're saying. Be thou removed. And be thou cast into the sea. Get out of my way. Go bother somebody else. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, the word for faith, believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. We understand in the kingdom of heaven, things in God's kingdom work by different laws than they do in the natural. Different principles, right? In the natural world, we have the physics principle of gravity, right? Buoyancy. Heavy things sink into water. In the kingdom of heaven, we have, if you have faith, you can walk on water. Right? In the natural, our law says that mountain's not going to move. It weighs too much. But in the kingdom, it says if you can believe and speak, the mountain's got to move. In fact, what it tells us is this spiritual principle, this spiritual law says that words of the Spirit, words of faith, have power, authority, and the ability to change anything in the natural world. We've talked about it over here. This example over here, we talk about the world system. Here's everything in the world, everything in the universe. Here's your sicknesses, your lack, the oppression that would try to hit you. Over here, the mountain standing in your way. Over here is every situation that limits your life. Over here is the kingdom of heaven. Here's the area of unlimited opportunity and potential. Over here is where the angels go on vacation to get away from us. Amen. Over here is where the power of God is resident, the love of God is resident. Over here is where there's no lack, there's no tears, there's no sorrow. And this is a whole different kingdom, a whole different universe of the spirit realm. And what Jesus was saying, if you can stand over here and speak words of faith, if you can speak words of spiritual authority, it can change anything in this world over here. Do you follow me? And the way you stand over here to speak is you spend time with God in the Word, in prayer, in church, and you fill yourself with things of the kingdom. And you get built up in your faith so that you're operating more as a spiritual being than a natural person. And you speak forth with power, and this realm has to obey you. It doesn't say the mountain might be moved. It doesn't say the mountain can be moved. It says the mountain will move. And your faith has the power to change anything in your life and around you. Amen. That was another thing that came out of the KCM conference. It was a pro-Trump conference. I mean, they celebrated the president. Kenneth Copeland basically said he's born again and the Holy Ghost is all over his life. Praise God. Well, it doesn't act like he's born again. Well, he'd still be a baby Christian. But that means his sins are washed away, right? And the Spirit of God can use him. So, Jesus taught this ability to use words of faith to move mountains. Now, many years ago, God started showing me how we can use some laws of physics to understand more about how the kingdom of heaven operates. So some of these physics laws parallel natural laws. Remember these teachings? And I want to draw one on the board right now, write one on the board. And this will be our launching pad. Everything I'm teaching you right now is going to be introduction for where we want to go. But we may not get there today. What's that? No test, no. If you ask scientists, mathematicians, scientific-oriented people, who was the smartest man ever to live? They all point to the same person. Charles Casey. I'm sorry. Sir Isaac Newton. You've heard of Sir Isaac Newton? Sir Isaac Newton was the first one to theorize what we call Newtonian physics. And he laid the foundation for modern physics today that governs everything that functions by natural laws. Amen? And so when you hear about, how many have heard of quantum physics or quantum mechanics? Those are laws that govern the subatomic realm. You find the molecular level. There are different laws that govern that versus govern the natural world. And I think it's spirit versus natural, actually. But when we talk about the two areas of physics, we talk about quantum physics and Newtonian physics. That's how famous his name is in the scientific community. Amen? And one of his, he actually was the first one to propose certain laws that govern motion. His first law of motion was that an object that is in motion or at rest will stay in motion or at rest unless it's acted upon by a force. Do you follow me? We call it inertia. That if a car's rolling down the road, unless something pushes on it or friction slows down, you know, the wheels on the axle, the car will keep rolling. And if a car is stopped, if you'll put a force on it, and the force, it will start rolling. That was his first law of motion. How many know this simple? But then he went about to quantify that effect with his second law of motion. And the second law of motion for Newton was this. A force is equal or proportional to mass times its acceleration. This is force, mass, and acceleration. Now what that says is, the harder I push on the car, I mean, a car has a certain mass. We might call it its weight. Weight is actually mass under the influence of gravity. Did you feel something on that? We're going to call mass for our simplifying this teaching is what something weighs. And so if you push on a bicycle with say 100 pounds of force, that bicycle will accelerate very quickly. But if you push on a car with 100 pounds of force, it will accelerate, but not nearly as quickly. So what Newton said is, if you apply a force based on its mass, will determine how fast it will accelerate. Or with a certain mass, based on how hard you push, will determine how fast it accelerates. That's easy enough, isn't it? And years ago, God showed me this in the realm of the Spirit. And what we're going to do is we're going to change these definitions. I hope you can see this. This is going to become faith. we talked about over here that if we're in this kingdom realm, we can speak words of faith and it will cause things to change in the natural world. So if we command a mountain to be cast into the sea, do you follow me? Our faith causes that mountain to be accelerated out of our way. It puts it in motion to be moved out of our way, right? And so M is going to be the size of our mountain. That's easy enough too, right? How many know it's a whole lot easier to believe for healing of a hangnail than healing of cancer? Or, you know, you can believe you can be healed of a headache more than you're going to believe for $1 million. Based on the size of what you want to move in your mind, your perception, how big that mountain is will determine how much faith it takes. The bigger the mountain, the more faith it takes to accelerate it at the same speed. And then the acceleration will be how fast does the mountain move out of your way. So if you want to be somebody that's got mountain moving faith, let's say the age of a man is going to max out at 120 years, so you're going to live to be 120, and you've got teaspoon-sized faith, you might have to be 200,000 years old to move your mountain out of the way. You don't have that much time, a teaspoon at a time. You follow me? Oh, I've got my faith in operation. I'm moving the mountain, and it's like, here's a handful, and I'm moving the mountain. You don't have enough days to move that mountain. A handful at a time or a teaspoon at a time. And so we're assigned of God to grow up in our faith, to increase our faith. Remember the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And then he gave us the mustard seed example that mustard seed can grow up into a great tree. We're to be those who learn how to get in the Word and meditate what God has said, what he's promised. It'll become so large in us when we speak, we know it's going to obey rapidly. And the bigger your faith is in any area, the faster you can move the mountain. Let me say this as well, because I don't want to get in too big of a hurry in teaching this. You can have great faith for healing and no faith for prosperity. Or vice versa. You can have great faith for prosperity, but none for your marriage. Amen. And so you can target your faith. That's why we have so many different promise cards back there. So you can target building your faith to move certain mountains out of your way. Amen. But you can't start on a mountain. You better start on like an anthill. Give something moving that you can see results in. Don't try to target the greatest thing in the world. Target something that's small enough size you can see the results in your lifetime or quicker. Amen. And so this formula applies in the spirit as well. Our faith, our level of faith will determine how big any mountain accelerates out of our way. And the bigger your faith, the faster it moves. In fact, what I'm teaching you now is in my next book I've already written. I just got to do the illustrations. And so we want to be those of great faith that can move big mountains. See, it takes one level of faith to lay hands on somebody and have a headache removed. It's a whole other level of faith to see them rise from the dead or see blind eyes open. And the one I want to see that I've never seen yet in my ministry. I've seen many others. I think I've seen about every sickness disappear, cancer disappear, blind eyes, dead raised. I've yet to see limbs grow out. I want to see limbs grow out and organs grow back. And amen. Faces restructured. Whatever's got to take place. I want to see all of creation line up to the words that we speak. But it takes larger levels of faith, right? Now, another application of this formula, let me erase this part. Is acceleration doesn't mean how fast something is going. It means how fast is it speeding up or slowing down. If you get in your car and you press the pedal to the floor, it didn't just go 10 miles an hour. It goes 10, then 20, then 30. You follow me? And if it's like that Tesla that I was in, you know, a month or so ago, it just keeps on going. Amen. And gets there really quick. Topped out 155. We didn't go that fast, but he said that's its maximum speed. And it'll keep on going. That's acceleration, right? Well, another standard formula of physics is that velocity would be, don't have time to go into vector mechanics, but velocity really is just how fast is your speedometer going. Say you get in your car and your car will accelerate at 10 miles per hour every second. So you hold down the pedal, and after 1 second, how fast are you going? 10 miles per hour. If you keep it held down for a second, how fast is it going? 20, and then 30 and 40 based on how long you hold down the pedal. So another standard formula of physics is not a theory, this is just a formula, is that your velocity is equal to how fast you're accelerating times how long do you hold down the accelerator. How many love physics and love algebra? See, Charles raised his hand, so I'm good to go. Me and you. All this formula says is the longer you hold down the pedal, accelerate, times time, see, 10 miles per hour per second, times 3 seconds, 10 times 3 is 30 miles per hour. You follow me? That's all that formula says. The longer I hold down the pedal, the faster I go. And I want the mountains moving out of my way really fast. Do you follow me? And so, in algebra, we can actually combine formulas. So if I take this formula, I can actually divide both sides by t algebraically. What happens on this side? Because I got a t on top and a t on bottom, they cancel out, right? So I end up with acceleration equals velocity divided by time. For example, if I know my car accelerates at a standard rate, a set rate, and I push the pedal down, and after 3 seconds I'm going 30 miles per hour, I can take 30 divided by 3 seconds to get my car accelerates at 10 miles per hour per second. That's all that says. It's just a way of rewriting what we already discussed. But in algebra and in physics, you can do what's called substitution in formulas. So over here I had F equals ma, right? Newton's second law of motion. I can substitute velocity divided by time where A is, because they're the same. So I can rewrite this formula. F equals mass times velocity divided by time. This says the exact same thing as that. And then I can do another operation to get this t off of the bottom, and I can actually multiply both sides by t, and I multiply that times t. What happens to those t's? They cross out, and I end up with a well-known formula that force times time equals mass times velocity. And they give the term V times T a name in physics. Anybody have a guess what that name is? Momentum. Velocity times mass means how heavy is something, how much does it weigh, times how fast is it going. So if I have a bicycle going 10 miles per hour, it's lightweight, and not going very fast, and they run into the back of your car, what's going to happen? No, your car's sitting still, and a bicycle going 10 miles per hour, which is not even running speed, it's fast jogging, and it weighs 10 pounds, let's say it just got away, and it ran into the back of your car, what's going to happen to your car? Pretty much nothing. May put a little scuff mark on your bumper. Why? It's got low mass and low velocity, therefore it's got low momentum. Do you follow me on this? But what if instead a car weighing 4,000 pounds, traveling 100 miles per hour, hits the back of your car that's sitting still, what's going to happen? It's going to be total wipeout. It's going to be one of those they're going to put on the internet to show you what happens, you know, when you text and drive. Because a 4,000 pound car traveling 100 miles per hour carries much higher momentum than a bicycle at 10. That's what mass times velocity equals. When I was in college, we took our senior trip to several different companies around the South. We went to Aero Engineering in Tullahoma, Tennessee, where they do testing and development of fighter aircraft. You follow me? In fact, when I was there, they were designing the B-1 bomber. It's been a long time ago. And they were doing tests on high-speed projectiles. And they had this pneumatic cannon. They built this air pressure cannon that was the length of a whole building. And they would use it to speed up these steel balls about the size, well, it was a 1-inch diameter, smaller than a golf ball. About like a ping pong ball, I guess, a little smaller. That weighed, it was just a steel ball. They would speed them up through this cannon so fast, that little steel ball, they said, carried the same momentum as two Cadillacs doing 100 miles per hour. And those would have been 1970s Cadillacs. You follow me? It was traveling, I don't know what the speed was, we could certainly calculate it, but the momentum was massive. And they had showed us where they had lined up steel blocks, big steel blocks, 1 foot thick, one after another. And the little steel ball blew through all of them. Went in a little hole like that and blew out huge chunks of the back. That's the power of momentum. Do you follow me? And now applying this to the realm of the Spirit, what it says is, faith applied times the time you apply it cause your mountain to be put in high speed removal, having high spiritual momentum. We'll put it that way. In other words, if I'll be over here in the spirit room and I'll apply my faith and keep applying it and keep applying it. In other words, I don't just say one time, by his stripes I was healed. I'm walking around all the time thinking and meditating, by his stripes, I am healed. And you keep applying that faith. You follow me, thanking God it's done. You keep that faith pressure on. It caused that mountain to be accelerated and moved out of your way faster and faster and faster. And based how long you apply that, the quicker the mountain's being removed out of the way. Praise be to God. But what we discovered is you can't release faith you haven't built up. Remember discussions about having a low tank and the effect darkness has on you when you have a low spiritual tank? You know, you haven't been to church or you haven't been in the Word, you haven't prayed in the Spirit, and you just kind of got so distracted and so caught up in doing things that all of a sudden you find yourself kind of getting irritable, you find yourself getting spiritually weary, don't feel like getting in the Word anymore. It's a low fuel tank causes that. You follow me? And we're going to find it's really what it is low spiritual momentum. And so, in fact, let me show you something else before we get into that. I want to show you the effects of momentum and your faith. I'm going to draw a line up here. And I want to draw a point right here. This point is healed. In fact, let me put the zero up here. You're healed here. You're not spending any time in the Word confessing healed. How many have ever been healed before and you weren't confessing the Word? It's kind of the natural state of your physical body, right? You're not sick, but you're not working your faith for healing. And one day you get, and so here you are right here. In fact, let me draw you up here. You're right there. We're going to call this sick. I'm sorry. We're going to call this health. We're going to call this sick. In fact, we're going to draw a line here. We're going to call this dead. If you get sick enough, you become dead. And when you're dead, unless there's a really faith-filled person around you, you stay dead. It's not a place you want to tamper with, right? And so you're healed. But you get up one day, we'll just call this, here's day one. Day two, you get up, here's our same line. Here's our even point, and all of a sudden, you wake up, and you're sick. You're running a temperature. You feel nauseated. You don't feel like doing anything. And what happened is, you were here, but overnight you moved to here. Now, that means something moved. Something was put in motion. And according to Newton's law, which we're applying to the Spirit, means something applied a force to you to cause you to move the wrong direction. Do you follow me? So here you are, you get up, something has caused you to move. He's applied a force of ill health to you. It's caused you to move from here to here because motion is involved. And M are the symptoms. It's the mountain you're facing. You now have negative momentum regarding your health. Do you see this? And so what happens, you decide, hey, I need to apply my faith. I'm sick, but I'm the healed according to the Word of God. By His stripes, I'm healed. Now let's say you're not a giant. You're not a faith giant, but you know about it. And you apply your faith. So what happens is here, find the right color here. Guess I'm stuck. Here you decide, I'm going to apply my faith. But this thing's already had time to build up momentum all day or all night. It was a day before you realized you needed to use your faith. Amen. So because this has momentum, how many know if a car's rolling down backwards out your driveway, how many beside me have ever had that happen? You know, back in the days before everything was automatics with park and we had standard shifts, and it wasn't uncommon for something to start rolling. And what did you do? You jumped behind the car, started pushing, opposing the rolling, and it did not stop immediately. In fact, if you're like me, it scooted your shoes back for some distance. In fact, no more than I weighed, it scooted me quite a ways back. And you're trying to hold the thing, what can I throw under the wheel? And you even thought, if you were like me, you thought about, should I put my foot under the wheel? Do you ever think of that one? And so you're thinking, how can I stop the car? So you're pushing, you're applying a force. In our case, it's our faith. Right? But it takes some time to stop something in motion. So maybe you get up the next day and you're using your faith, believing by His stripes I was healed. And you get up the next day, get the right colors here. and you're worse. Do you see this? Because you can't stop a rolling car that fast. And the flu has some momentum behind it or whatever sickness you're fighting. So you're applying your faith, but guess what? You may not be aware, and you keep applying it. The first day, it moved this far backwards. But now that you're applying your faith, the second day it only moved this far. You're slowing down the symptoms. You follow me? It's not getting worse as fast as it would have had you not applied your faith. Had you not used your faith, it would have been clear out here. But you do feel worse. Maybe before your temper's 102, now it's 102.5. And you go, oh, I thought I believed God. I thought the Word said I was healed. I guess it didn't work. And when you say, I guess it didn't work, I guess I'm just sick, you just canceled out your faith. You just dug up your seed. You just negated everything you've said because you now release words of faith in the sickness more than faith in the Word. You cannot judge whether you're healed by the symptoms. Do you follow me on that? Let me ask you a question. Anybody here believe they're saved by the blood of Christ through the cross? Have you ever got a day where you woke up and you were more frustrated than the day before, or more aggravated, or maybe you said the wrong thing? Were you still saved? Were you any less saved? So what you were experiencing, as long as you held to your faith in salvation, right? You didn't go backwards. You're as saved as you were the day before. You stay saved. And your symptoms for healing don't indicate whether you're healed or not, any more than it indicates whether you're saved or not. If you wake up with the flu, let's say you end up getting some horrible disease, which you won't do, but you die of it. Are you still saved? So sickness can't change the promise of your salvation. It can't change the promise of your healing either. You're healed. Don't let go of your faith. So what happens is instead of quitting, you keep your faith active. And we don't know what kind of sickness it is or how long it's going to take you to reverse it. But let's say you get here to day 4. And all of a sudden, you kept your faith operational. Now you're back down to 102. You just leave these lids off. Faith still working. Do you see that you're starting to reverse this? What's happening is it takes time to reverse negative momentum, just like it takes time to reverse symptoms of a car rolling down your driveway or the effects of it. Amen. How many want instant healing? I discovered, based on your faith level, it's not always instant. Do you follow me? Now we're going to look at this as we get into this. So you keep applying it, and now day 5, you're back to healed. You've maintained your faith. I kind of drew it out of proportion. You maintained your faith, and now you are healed. Praise God. Feels good to be healed, doesn't it? I remember this would have been back in 1991. I'd had the flu basically pretty much every year. All of my life, it seemed like. And in 1991, I'd heard about faith. He's 90 or 91. I think it was 91. I'd heard about faith enough, and I'd learned to defeat so many different sicknesses. I saw I'm going to use it against the flu if it hits me. It hit me hard. And this time I said, I'm not going to the doctor. Not taking any medications. Nothing wrong with the medication, but I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to use my faith. And I walked the floor for 5 days. I remember it got so bad one time, my fever shot up to, over 104. I don't know. It was pretty high, 105. So that I fell into bed and the room was just spinning. I said, no, I'm healed. And all of a sudden, boom, it broke. But I fought it for 5 days because where my faith level was, it took me 5 days to reverse the effects of flu. And the next time it hit me, it took me like 2 days. Well, my faith was at a higher level. The next time it hit me, it didn't last a day. So I went for 25 years without the flu, basically. Nearly 25 years. No flu. Why? Because I had learned to beat that. My faith was a level that it couldn't stay on my body. And if I got up there, was even the slightest symptom, I'd go, no, I'm healed, and boom, it would leave. Because faith in healing was getting larger and larger so that I could reverse negative momentum faster and faster. You see this? Now, here's a problem many people have. I don't know if you can see this or not. But so many people get to the place they're healed, and they quit using their faith. I did the example sometime back with the basketballs and the bowling ball and all this. They quit using their faith. But what would happen if I'm healed? I say, no, I'm going to keep using my faith for healing. I'm going to keep confessing I'm healed every day. I'm going to keep it in mind all through the day. I'm healed. I'm the healed. Sickness can't touch my body. Sickness is far from me in Jesus' name. No plague nor calamity shall come near my dwelling. You're confessing healing. Whether you realize it physically or not, you start building momentum and it may not happen in 2 days. If here was healed, we'll call this zero, you keep applying it, you're building positive momentum in your health. And you're building positive, we'll just call it, you're putting yourself in a super healed position. So that now when sickness tries to attack you, say sickness tries to hit you here, and you spend some time keeping confessing healing. You keep it in mind. You use the confession card. You're declaring you are healed. Now when sickness tries to hit you, let me just change this so we can see. And we'll call you up here at day number 25. Keep confessing the word. And so your faith for healing has got you in with a positive momentum way up here. You may not feel any better than when you're healed. How many know if you're healed, it's hard to feel better than healed? But there's a spiritual momentum in your life. Thy word is a shield about me. And now when the devil tries to hit you because you've got spot, and this is why I try to live. Now there's a positive spiritual momentum. So when the devil hits you with symptoms, and he tries to drive you back, what happens is he hits you with a symptom and maybe he pushed you back like before, but you're still healed. You follow me? You don't even notice the difference. You walk where everybody's got the flu and everybody's, you know, falling prey to the flu, but it tries to hit you and it just has no effect. You're still healed. And you keep applying your faith to promises of God in your life to put yourself over into a place of super health, super prosperity. See, I lived for a long time financially at break even. And if we were to use the same chart and call it finances, so we change this from healing to finances, I spent a whole lot of my time between these, using my faith trying to get the bills paid. You follow me? Using my faith to pay the school bills and whatever bills came due. And, you know, I had to believe, okay, we got that and paid. And here'd come another bill. I'm in the red again. Pay that one. Pay. Last year, a year ago, Patty and I, she was starting to get bothered by some of the debt we had. And it wasn't major, but we had a credit card with, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000 on it, which is a lot, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. We had some school loan of Lori's we just paid off finally. And we had a car payment. And I'm thinking there was something else, but I don't recall what it was right now. Maybe it's two credit cards. And she's saying, I just really want these paid off. And, of course, our house mortgage. And maybe it's one or two more. I don't remember what we owed. Oh, we owed Lori some money. And she says, really bothering me. I said, I tell you, Patty, let's agree right now. This year, we pay off every bit of it. My face not ready to pay off a house in a year. Let's agree everything gets paid off this year. It looked impossible. Wasn't like I got any raise or anything. Look, and we're still in the same place with the church. Not in debt, but not flourishing. And last year, I don't know how we did it. We paid off every single debt. In fact, we paid off the last credit card in November, the end of it. Every one of them in 2018. What we decreed, we targeted, and somehow God blessed it. We did it. Amen. And Zion Old didn't have to hit oil for us to do it. We made it. And so now, listen, I still don't have a jet. I'm not targeting a jet, but I don't have a jet. I don't have brand new cars, but I'm not here anymore. Now I'm more like here. Now I'm more like in this area. So that, see, we've spent 25 years, for the most part, I needed my check to go in on time, money to cover the checks we were writing to pay the bills the Thursday or Friday before. And for some time, we didn't have the church come, the church checks weren't even coming through reliably, and we would have to go without some things we wanted, you know. Never missed payments, but it was tight. Well, right now, I can miss a check, and we're okay. Used to be we would have to schedule when we paid bills. Okay, you're going to pay this one this week, this and this week. And they come and have a date on. Okay, I've got to get this in this time. I just say when they hit come and ask, pay them. Just pay them. Pay the insurance and feel. Here's what feels good. Now, you may be used to it, but for 25 years, we didn't do it. We had to pay the insurance in 3-month increments. Now I say, pay the whole year. Pay the whole bill, whatever it comes to. Pay the whole thing. Just pay it off. Let's don't let that set anymore. Let's move above the break-even mentality and get where we're at. And now my goal is to go beyond this and have a year where I have enough to go buy a car if I need to, debt-free. To target getting into the overflow region. And then go beyond that. The point is everything has a spiritual momentum tied to it. That what you do with your faith times time, remember, let's write that up again. In fact, let me just erase this so you can still have the gist of it. Faith times time creates momentum. But what we've discovered is you can't spend faith you don't have. Now, when I was a kid, they taught us how to save. You know, that was part of the goal. They teach at school savings. You know, if you get an allowance, put some of it away for savings. If you mow grass, which is what I did, I mowed grass. I'd go, you know, didn't know about tithing, but they'd go buy me a soda or a candy bar or something, but I'd take the rest. I put it in a drawer where my brothers couldn't find it. And I learned that if I want to have a bank that I can take money out of, I've got to spend time putting money into it. I can't spend what I don't have. And we didn't have credit cards when I was a kid like we do today. Amen. Not the way they do it today. You couldn't go borrow money left and right like you can today. Amen. So I would mow all these lawns, and I can remember doing it. And I'd mow a lawn, it'd be anywhere from $1 for a smaller lawn to $3.50 for a giant lawn. That was my rate. I'd like to have that rate today. And a $3.50 lawn was a corner lot. It was big. And a dollar would be just a small shotgun type house or something. And I mowed a lot of lawns. It was on a schedule, just having a push mower go around the neighborhood. And I put all this money into this. And my desire was, I wanted to own a fly rod because I was into fishing. I never knew anybody had a fly rod. I saw them in the magazines. I wanted a fly rod. And I saved up my dollars. And then one day I took out, I remember the amount, $33 for a fly rod set. And I bought my fly rod. Why? I put it in, I could take it out. Do you follow me? Well, if you have a Cadillac going 100 miles, well, let's take a different example. Let's say you want to shoot a cannonball through something. Your enemy's behind a fortification. You need to shoot a cannonball through his wall. You need that cannonball, say, weighing 16 pounds, traveling 500 miles per hour. And you know that if it'll go 500 miles per hour, that 16-pound cannonball will go through that wall, through the fortifications. So you're a military guy. Well, you've then got to calculate, how do I get a cannonball going 500 miles an hour? And you got to put it in the cannon so long, which represents time, it's under the effect of the pressure, times the amount of powder, and it'll tell you how fast your cannonball will go. The point being is, you can't put something in momentum without a force first getting it in motion. And you can't use your faith, you haven't taken time to build. And when I use the term, your tank, your spiritual tank is low, what I'm talking about is you have a low spiritual momentum. Now, let me show what I'm talking about. Instead of this being my piggy bank, this is your spiritual tank. You follow me on this? And your goal is you want to take faith out of here that you built. Understand, faith is what's inside of you. You want to take faith and apply it over time to move a mountain. There are things you want to build in your life that you want to move, and you need faith over time to do it. But you can't spend faith you don't have. Amen. Now, over here, when I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about what you speak out. What you think out, meaning think outward. What you do out. Do you follow me? That's you're releasing your faith. But how do I get faith in? How do I get over here? We're going to call this your tank. And here's your momentum level. And remember, faith times time equals momentum. Equals velocity times the size of your mountain. All synonymous. So how do I get something in here I can use out to speak out, act out, think out? Because you have to keep your faith active in your thinking. You can't entertain doubt. You got to protect your mind. Well, to do it, you use what I call faith time. And over here, you speak in. How do you speak in? You say, whether you feel like you're sick or not, you say, by his stripes, I'm healed. You're just putting it in your tank. I'm healed. I'm prosperous. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Amen. I live above oppression. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I'm unoffendable. And you speak the word into your life. You speak it over your life. And you do it over time. Let me give you an example of this. Jana gave the testimony a few years ago. She'd heard me teaching this for several years. And she said she had been sickly growing up, and she'd never spent a winter of her life she wasn't sick. And she said, Pastor Jack's been preaching this. I'm going to really try to do it. And she said she got up every morning, I think for 30 minutes early, 15 or 30 minutes early, and confessed healing over her body. Didn't feel any different. Wasn't sick in the summer anyway, but she did it all summer, through the fall, spoke healing. And she went through the first winter of her life without being sick. You can ask her. She gave the testimony a few years ago. And was going without sickness. Why? She was speaking in that allowed her to develop spiritual momentum that she didn't have to give way to sickness later. If something tried to hit her, she could speak out. And as well, you speak in, you think in, you meditate. Sickness can't touch my body. Can't do it. And you act in. Now, act in can be kind of dangerous if you don't understand what I'm talking about, if you don't know where your faith is. But act in is, oh, I better get my flu shot. Cold and flu season. Oh, I felt a sniffle. Better run and get me some Tamiflu and whatever. You follow me? And you're acting on every symptom versus acting against them. Or, oh, yeah, the cold medicine's on sale. It's 2 for 1. I better buy it because you never know when cold flu's coming. I'll have a supply. You just release your faith in sickness. That's an act out for the sickness. Instead of acting in is, I don't need a house full of medications. Do you follow me? And again, I'm not attacking medication. I'm not attacking doctors. I'm just telling you there's a place you can build positive momentum in the word. You don't need those. Praise God for doctors that keep us alive. Follow me? I need to draw my chart back up in a minute, but we'll see what happens. So you're building up your momentum level. And so I call these faith time activities. Well, let me repeat. Faith time activities. Our church. Are the word, tongues, prayer, hanging around people, speaking positive, spending time to meditate and speak forth confession cards. Those are faith time activities. You're doing faith that fill your tank for a period of time. And faith activities over time build spiritual momentum for you that lets you then, when a challenge hits, you can speak out, you can think out, you can act out. Do you follow me on that? And how many want to live above sickness? Let me show you another reason to do this. We've got a few minutes left. You still with me? Let's say you get up one day and there's those symptoms. You don't even know what they are, but there's some symptoms on you. And you get up and you are sick. That was the deadline, right? deadline. You are sick. And you say, well, I heard Pastor Jack talking about faith, and I'm going to apply my faith, but you have peewee faith. There's your faith. But this is something serious. This is something life-threatening. You don't even know it yet, or maybe you're feeling really bad. This is bad, but you got a little bitty faith. I mean, little bitty faith will move a mountain. You can move a mountain with a teaspoon, but you may not have enough days available to do it. So your faith is so small, and you decide, I'm going to start building my faith, but you get up the next day. Draw a few days here. You get up the next day, because you have peewee faith, you couldn't reverse very much. Now you're over here. Still applying your little faith, maybe grew it a little bit. But these symptoms have major momentum behind them. Not to mention, now the doctors are telling you, you better make your plans, you're going to die. Your friend's saying, I know, I've known 10 people, that they all died. You know, you see you, bye. Can I have your motorcycle? But you're applying your faith. And if you keep that faith active long enough, it will reverse those symptoms. The problem is, because your faith is so small, you cross over this line, and that's the deadline, and you're dead. And once you're dead, your faith is not going to work anymore, unless you were Jesus. His faith worked after he was dead, right? He spoke it. Your prophetic words can still have an impact, which is what happened with him. But once you're dead, there's a good chance you're not coming back from that one. So you can't afford, especially knowing the devil wants to try to kill you, you can't afford to play around with little faith. Now instead, you've been using your faith for the hangnails and the headaches and the stubbed toes and whatever it is. If you've been using your faith for those and the life-threatening sickness hit, and you've got big faith, guess what? The next day, it's going to be here, then here, then here, and you're healed. And there's a place of super momentum where cancer can't touch your body. John G. Lakes, I think it was, God gave him, the revelation of healing, and he worked in his life. He went to Tacoma, Washington, and taught people how to operate in healing, and over 100,000 people got healed through his teams going out, and many of them terminal. They'd spend time with them until they reversed it and the person was healed. They declared Tacoma, Washington, the healthiest city in America. And I believe it was him that he was telling them that sickness can't live in his body, and there had been an outbreak of bubonic plague. And he had them go down, they took some of the foam, they put it under the microscope and saw bubonic plague virus on it. And it was all thriving. And they put it on his body. And they took it back, put it back under the microscope, and every single microbe was dead. The anointing killed every bit of it. See, that's the place of positive spiritual momentum for healing. And you can be there with health, you can be there with finance, you can be there with peace. You can operate in a place of such spiritual momentum in a positive fashion that you never have another down day the rest of your life. And the glory that we're moving into will have us all in that place. But the bride walking in that place of spiritual momentum is targeting now how to move into that position. Amen. Don't wait till you have something bad in your life to start working your faith. Build your momentum for it right now. Now, what we're going to get into in the following week or two is talk about how that low tank makes you susceptible to clouds of gross darkness. Do you follow me? And a filled tank allows you to walk through it without impact. Did you get anything out of this today? Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding, cause us to rise up and be people of great faith and great expectation. I thank you in this church there are none sick, none in lack, none in strife, none oppressed, none in fear, none dying whatsoever. I thank you. I give you praise for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to